여러분.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is the first episode of the My Friends Call Me Tito podcast. I'm your host, Todd Jansen. As you may have guessed, my friends call me Tito. On my first episode here, I decided to have my bandmates come on. We're in the band Forge Street. We have an EP coming out on February 26th, and I figured what a better way to start off my new endeavor than to have my bandmates come on and promote our new EP that we're super proud of. It comes out, as I said, February 26th on Broken English Records. Digitally through iTunes, Amazon, eMusic. If you have Rhapsody, which I do, which totally rules, it'll be on there. Yeah, so this pretty much starts off with us promoting it, the release, and then playing a few songs, and then towards the end, we kind of go through everybody's story, which is what I hope to do with this podcast. I really like hearing people's stories. So, future guests will hopefully have really good stories for you to listen to. Before we get to the interview, I'd like to ask you to go to myfriendscallmetito.com. That's my website. Has links to all the things that I'm into, that I do. Like, has links to Forge Street, has a link to my digital record label thingy, 4808digital.com. And I just put lots of fun stuff on there every now and again, so check that out. And if you're thinking about buying the release through Amazon, there'll be a banner up on the right-hand side of myfriendscallmetito.com that you'll be able to click on right there. And if you buy it by clicking that banner, I will get a little kickback, and hopefully it will help pay for this podcast. Because little did I know, there's going to be some out-of-pocket costs to do this, so please help a brother out. So, yeah, that's about it. Check out this interview, a few songs off the EP, and I'll be back at the end of the interview to say goodbye. Thanks. So, we're here with my bandmates, Forge Street. Got Mike and John with me. We have an EP coming out called Homesick and Stable. It's coming out on Broken English Records on February 26th. But I guess we should start out where we actually start with our previous band together, which was a surf band, the High Five Revival. Any comments on it?
How did that start, Todd?
Well, that started with me just recording shit in my bedroom. But then,
shit in your bedroom?
Yeah, I shit in my bedroom.
Well, I saw you guys play out that time.
That one time.
We played with Rick on bass.
Why did we play a show, though?
Because you had the music ready, and you were like, hey, you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, I liked it. And we tried it, and then
Then I was getting my hair cut, and Mike's like, yo, why don't you get rid of that other dude? Let me play bass.
Well, he was just kind of playing anyway, right? Like, he wasn't like...
Yeah, I don't know if
no,
we
rehearsed like once.
Yeah.
Rehearsed like one time for that show, I think.
Yeah.
We'll show you the stuff real quick. Well, he wasn't, like, planning on being... Well, you guys never played again after that anyway.
No, just the once.
Yeah.
So I don't think any of you, I guess, really planned on...
He did say at one point he was going to buy a bass, though. I remember you telling me that.
No, that would have been a shame.
How many times have you bought something for a band you thought you were going to be a part of and then...
I bought my flanger pedal for a high five, but it came in handy for this one. So then you came and we did that for like a year and a half, 2 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like almost 2 years, I think.
Put out an EP. Our good friend Sean Paul recorded it in your old basement. What did you say? You wanted to start doing this.
Well, this? Or are you talking Ford about Street. High Five still?
No, we did some cool shit with High Five. We played locally and we did that festival in North Carolina. But that was about it. But then...
Well, yeah, we came to the conclusion that it was a lot of work for very little reward.
Yeah. And but we never broke up, so we may do it again. Doubt it.
I don't think so. Yeah,
I doubt it. But then we were at practice, and
well, just I think it was pretty clear that like none of us were really having a blast. Really,
it was a blast at first, and then
it was awesome, and it kind of got weird and tensiony, and like you know, it's a drag. It's a drag mm-hmm. when it's freezing cold, and you're dragging your gear out to play in front of a couple people, music that. I mean, well, we obviously liked the music, but
a lot of people didn't get it.
Yeah.
No, a lot of people didn't get it, and I mean, you know, anyone that plays knows that, you know, you play to a crowd, and they feed off you, and you feed back off of that, and that's just sort of how it works.
Yeah, we emptied plenty of room. The worst was that time at Keegan's. It was like that benefit for something, remember?
Oh, it was...
And everybody went outside while we were playing.
It was a... what was it? It was for a local politician. It was one of the mayor candidate...
Did he win?
He lost.
No, he lost. That's what he gets. That's what he gets. If you're running for mayor...
Don't have us play.
Don't.
Well, no.
Or any variation of... I wouldn't trust him at all after that, to be perfectly honest.
That's true.
But anyway, yeah, it definitely started getting, like, tensiony, and we were obviously all homeboys, but, like, it was just weird, you know?
Yeah,
we all talked about it separately, too. Like, you came to me and said, it's a drag. I think I want to do something else. And I talked to Todd about it, and he was like, oh, yeah, it's a drag. So we were like, wait, everybody thinks it's a drag, let's do something else. So.
Well, the whole thing, too, is that I had some ideas written, which you very quickly put to shame with your ideas, but... But I had ideas written.
What are you talking about? I think our best song is your song.
That's true. I thought 4th Street was your baby. That was... Not 4th Street. Sorry.
The High Five
Revival. I thought it was your baby. I thought you were going to be insulted. Now, you know, I don't... Like, I won't forget. Like, it was one night that we were up having wings. And I was like, fuck it, dude. I'm just going to call Todd. Like, and just see where he's at with all this. And I'm... pulling my hair out, wondering what you're going to think, and then I called you up, and I was like, so listen, me and John, you're talking, I got some stuff written, Leslie. You were like, okay, awesome. I thought you were just done dealing with me, especially for the time being, and you were like, oh, yeah, cool, fuck it, let's try that.
No, definitely wasn't anybody in the band, I think. Like you said, you empty your room, that shit sucks.
Oh, yeah, and you're getting dragged out, you know? And your girl's home, my girl's home, your kid's home, and, you know, and Johnny's... got nobody home.
Is that the set list?
Yeah. 50 songs.
First song on there is 4th Street.
Yeah. Yeah. Our terrible band name is Your Fall.
Yeah, that was, you know.
But you know what? It's grown on me.
We could have called it Panama Hat. I don't think that would have done quite as well.
No, probably not. 10 Gallon. So then we start this band. It was like January of last year, right?
We moved in here on December 1st, and we had, like, two more High Five Revival practices.
I remember
here to play.
We made this decision to change, start doing these other songs, but we still had High Five shows booked.
We had one more show booked.
Was it one?
Yeah, it was,
That was, like...
We hated it,
and
too.
What was it? Was it a Christmas show? A bit?
It's Guy Top, I think.
No. We played at Rondell Music Lounge.
I think that was the last
year. Yeah.
But did we have one booked before that or no? No, I think we played Christmas Time at Sky Top.
We didn't play Christmas Time.
But
we didn't
decide to do 4th Street yet.
Yeah, we had that one
that
last
show at the Rondell Lounge was terrible. We were like, fuck.
Was it?
Well, I think we played okay, but we were all like not in the mood to be doing it.
Yeah. I remember you said to Brandy, I don't care if no one shows up.
Oh, yeah, that's
that
right.
That was your comment. Like, yeah, we don't care.
Yeah, we don't care. We're not playing anymore after this. Thanks for ruining this for us.
So that happened. So that was like...
Now people come to our shows in the Rondout Music Lounge.
Yeah. Well, we only had one. But it was good.
Now people come to our show.
We'll find out. Music Lounge. We'll find out next month. So that leaves us... We formed a band. We wrote like 8 songs pretty quick. We played our first show in March. So within 2 months, we had 8 songs. We played a cover. What was that cover song?
I probably don't want to talk about it.
We
played a cover song?
Yeah.
Soldier's Requiem or something? What was that?
Oh, we played a Naked Ray Gun song.
Oh,
I thought that was in 4th Street, or High Five Revival. I'm going to keep doing that.
No. We practiced it. We played it that night, and next practice, we're like, we're never playing that song again.
That was the first time you sang, though.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Poor people.
Poor people.
That put us in March. What? Then it took a while to play another show, didn't it? What was our next show?
I think we
started recording with Sean Paul.
Oh, so that was in April that we started recording. January, February, March, April. So 4 months in, we started recording 5 songs, which kind of just ended up being some demos.
Yeah. Have we played any super awesome shows? We got to play that awesome show at The Chance with Murphy's Law. That was fun.
Good pictures, anyway.
Yeah. It's funny. We pulled more people out than Murphy's Law did.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Does anything stand out show-wise or band-wise? Recording the EP. I guess we played a bunch of shows from March.
Shows so far have been cool in general, I think, man.
Oh, yeah, they've been cool.
We played some stuff that I thought was going to be really awesome, and it was really awesome for maybe not the same exact reasons I thought it was going to be really awesome. Then we played stuff that I wasn't expecting to be that awesome. And either way, I think that we've gotten a hell of a response with this band. I think that people seem to like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see what happens with the EP when it comes out on the 26th. And, I mean, just coming from where we came from, this group of three people, I think this band is giving us everything that the last band was lacking that had us kind of ready to, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And this has been the complete polar opposite, and it has been extremely flattering. And even last Friday we played a show, and it was by no means the busiest that room's ever been, you know. And I mean, just
I thought we played great.
I thought we played great, and we got responses from a couple people that really meant the world to me, you know.
Yeah.
And the same thing the next night, complete strangers, but I mean, just like, I mean, wholehearted, like, this is why I liked you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been really awesome, because it has been a lot of hard work. And in this band, there's 3 people doing hard work, you know, where I've been in bands in the past where it's like a person doing hard work and the rest of them filling the spaces, you know, which is cool too, but it's just not the same when you're getting that positive response. It's not as directly felt, you know.
It was cool too, because someone bought our shirt without even hearing us. Remember that in Connecticut? I was like,
yeah,
there's no way you know who we are.
Are you sure, man?
I think he just liked the color black.
He's like, and it's weird too, because our shirt has a state of New York.
We're definitely in Connecticut.
But yeah, that was kind of cool. Maybe they brought the CD back and let him hear it and liked it. Maybe that happened.
I don't think so. I don't think he's related to them at all.
No.
Anyway.
Nope. So we've had some awesome shows. Spreading the word a lot. So I guess before we talk about the EP, we should take a break, play a song. Let's play Gasoline, the first song on the record. Homesick and Stable, out February 26th. Please support us and download it.
Your eyes now bloodshot, trying anyway.
So let's talk about recording the EP. We started recording with Sean Paul from Nightmares. Nightmares for a week. After a while, we just noticed that the songs had evolved from the original demos.
Quite a bit.
So we just decided, rather than record it in a basement,
which was awesome. I mean, it sounded incredible.
But we just decided to take it a step further and
go record with an old friend.
Yeah, John Clario at Nada Recording.
Where you and I were pretty comfortable to begin with. We worked with John since...
I had never worked in that studio. Have you recorded there?
Yeah.
You had? I
did one recording. You recorded there? Not with John, though, with Dan Couton.
But what was that for?
I was playing with
Countess?
Rick. No, it was after Countess with Rick and Vaughn, the guitar player from Countess. We just did a one song demo.
So yeah, that was a cool place to record. He's done. He has a gold record, right? With
My Chemical Romance.
My Chemical Romance. He's done a bunch of stuff.
He did a Tom Petty cover with Anna Devine. That's when I was in there.
He did the OCC album for Walmart.
Oh, Jesus. For what?
For Walmart. It went like platinum at Walmart or something ridiculous like that.
What are you talking about?
I'm serious. Ask him about it.
The OCC band. The Orange County Choppers band.
Oh.
I
was thinking.
You think we got bad band names?
I thought he was talking about the Orange County comp that he put out.
No, like, you went platinum.
Platinum at Walmart. What are you? All out wars on that. So we did. We were there 5 days.
Yeah.
5 songs, 5 days. Came out really fucking awesome. I think. You know it's good. My wife likes it, so you know it's somewhat catchy.
It's got a little catch to it.
Yeah. We recorded with John. We had,
and thank God we did.
Yeah,
sounds good awesome.
Because it sounds amazing. He had, I mean, he just added his John touch, man.
And then the attorney ended up putting it out.
Yeah,
because he has broken English too. But we had Bill come in and sing from Nightmares for a Week. We had
Chris Johnson from Autopilot Off,
which is fucking awesome. And
was on that song Gasoline.
Yeah, he was just on, he sang The Bridge of Gasoline, which I now sing on. No, I don't. I want to try
it. You want to try it.
I want to try that, but I can only do oohs and ahs.
I hum along and think about what it would be like to sing it while I play it, and it's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. No. With what they're...
Please silence your cell phones.
That pretty much is where we're at now. The EP comes out on February
26th. Let's listen to another song from it.
I guess we should do that before we get going. Well, what do you want us to? I picked Gasoline. Mike, you pick one.
The last one on the CD. It's Heaven Sent.
All right. Well, let's listen to Heaven Sent.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about us as individuals. Like, John, how did you get interested in music?
My parents are both music teachers, so I grew up.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Are they still teachers?
They're retired, but
were you forced to play the piano?
I did take piano lessons, hated it, and stopped. I was too young. I couldn't even find the notes on the keyboard. I didn't know what I was doing. But when I was in fourth grade, they bought me a drum set, a little drum set.
Did you want the drum set?
I knew that I wanted to play drums, and it was one of those situations where it popped up at a music store real, like, super cheap, and their friend from the music store called them and was like, hey, there's this awesome drum set for super cheap.
Because they knew.
What kind of drums were they?
It was a little black set of Yamahas, that tiny little bass drum, like an 18-inch bass drum, a little, like, jazz set.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that when I was... I think going into fourth grade, maybe. Usually
you've
in my
been playing for...
Yeah, I've been playing forever. I should be better than
yeah,
I am.
Yeah, wouldn't have guessed.
But yeah, so I started in fourth grade, started taking lessons in fifth grade, and here I am.
Were you, like, in band or anything?
Yeah, in fifth grade I was in band. We did all sorts
of... Did you have one of those little drum pads?
I did have a drum pad.
Did you learn your paradiddles?
Paradiddles, all the rudiments. Yeah, I took some drum set lessons from one of the teachers in the district. He was cool. He was, like, a guy who gigged out all the time. That's where I, like, actually learned how to play drum set.
Mm-hmm.
And I should probably still be taking lessons from him and practicing, but, you know.
You're fine.
Thanks. Adequate.
What was your first, like, really, what first got you about wanting to play music? Like, is there a certain time that...
Well, I mean, I grew up during the 80s, so that music at that point was, like, kind of all over the place. You could kind of hear just about anything on the radio,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I can remember songs just... making me feel different ways, and I just love that. I don't know, I can remember being, like, a little kid on car trips and, like, hearing the songs
mm-hmm.
as we're driving and, like, seeing stories in my head. And
yeah.
this is when, like, music videos had were, you know, starting to come out, but we didn't have cable, so I didn't even know what MTV was until I was, you know, like, 13 or something.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have cable?
No.
That's pretty hip.
Well, not when you're a kid. mean, Yeah, but, I can remember, like, making up stories in my head that, you know, as a 7-year-old I thought were what the song was about. I'm sure I was dead wrong, but...
Yeah, I have, like, oh, man, I have this vivid memory of this, like, 70s disco song. I remember being in the
white...
Dude, I was, like, 4 or 5, and my parents had this huge station wagon back in the 70s, and we gave... family friends of ours a ride to JFK Airport, I believe, and I do not know why, but there was, like, this building that you had to drive under somewhere. I woke up to it, and this disco song is playing, and I can picture, if this song ever comes on, like, an AM radio,
yeah.
I picture that scene. It's weird. I was, like,
yeah.
4 or 5, but go on. It just reminded me of that.
yeah, so, you know, listening to music in the car. I can remember, like, my Walkman batteries dying and, like, the song slowing down. So I've always been into music. I can remember, yeah, even back, like, when I was, like, 5 years old, the music in, like, cartoons
mm-hmm.
I found interesting. So, you know, as soon as I was old enough to actually start playing, my parents got me into it. And they were cool because they didn't push me. They, like, you know... put the opportunity in front of me, but didn't push me. Because I think if they had pushed me, I would have been like, you know, screw you, mom and dad. Mm-hmm. But no, it was cool.
Then you would have been a badass ginger.
Yeah, I would have been a badass redhead, but instead I'm just a normal.
Was there like a band or something that were you like, I just have to do this, like anything that?
Well, when I was really young, like I said, it was a lot of like 80s bands, like Huey Lewis and the News. How stupid is that? But I love them, you know. And like I can remember the first.
I want a new drug, baby.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
one of the first tapes I like bought on my own was DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, like way back. That was the one with awesome. The Parents Just Don't Understand.
Well, what the hell is LL Cool J?
No, that was later.
I think that was an accident on both of our parts. I was just looking at Caldor Sight and Sound and came across that, and apparently your mom came home.
Yeah,
with it,
same
which
thing.
It explains a lot now that I know she's a music teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. What else? I remember buying, like, Red Hot Chili Peppers tape, Blood Sugar Sex Magik, and, like, listen. Yeah. That was the first time I was influenced by a drummer.
Really?
I remember listening and being drummer. Like, how's he doing that? And mm-hmm. trying to figure it out. And
that dude's a fucking killer drummer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw them on that tour.
Yeah, Chad Smith. You saw them what?
On that tour. That was fucking. It was them, Smashing Pumpkins, and Pearl Jam.
Smashing Pumpkins is another band that I like. I remember being like, "This drummer's awesome. Let me figure out what he's doing."
Really?
And try to figure it out. So.
What was that album? Siamese Dream.
Yeah.
It's good record. What about first band?
First band I was in. First band I played out with was a band called Flu Shot. But it wasn't.
Yes.
wait, it gets better. Because it wasn't spelled like a flu shot. It was spelled F-L-E-W. Like, yeah, like we. I have no idea. I have no idea. But all we did was play Nirvana cover songs. That was
really?
That's all we played.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It was cool. I mean, it certainly helped me become a better drummer. But it was, you know.
Yeah, playing Dave Grohl stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about. You've toured, I know that.
Yeah, toured with Setting Sun and Quitzo, two bands originally from New Paltz, New York.
Did a you played tour. With both of them?
Played with both of them, yeah.
They're like husband, wife,
they
or something?
Were a boyfriend, girlfriend. And they like.
Ah, it's no big deal.
Bands.
Ooh,
no,
they were just boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, they were boyfriend and girlfriend. And they played in each other's bands, and I played in both of the bands.
Did the bands now break up too?
Well, now they're both kind of doing solo, or like, the bands are still around, but they're doing it without each other.
Oh, gotcha.
Other personnel have filled in.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
But didn't you tell me you toured with somebody else, or you
Oh, yeah, I did a short, like, a week, tour with, I actually randomly one spring got an email from a girl I knew in college, I played in a band with in college, asking if I was up for a tour, and it just happened to be my spring break, so I learned the songs in, like, a couple of days, and we drove down the East Coast together. That was pretty awesome. That was, like, my first real rock and roll experience.
What kind of music was it?
It was just, like, straight up kind of Zeppelin-ish rock and roll.
Were you ever in a band that played, like, stuff like Deftones or Korn or something?
Yeah. I think everyone was, but yes.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But for some reason, that stuck in my head, and I thought maybe that was the band that you toured with.
No.
Did that band go on and do something without you? There's some story with that band.
Not that band. That's another band from New Paltz. That was like a hip-hop, acoustic, mashup, weird-ass band. That actually had interest from, like, a couple of different labels.
I'm glad you got away from that.
Yeah.
I like shit like that.
I don't know.
Acoustic hip-hop? What does that even mean?
It was
you know
like,
you like it.
It was, like, acoustic guitar with a couple female vocalists, but also a girl who could rap. And then me on drums and a bass player. Yeah, it sounds really weird, right? I'll have to play you some sometime.
Maybe
I look forward to it. maybe you can play some.
Maybe we
here.
Can put it right on the podcast.
Yeah, if you find it by the time this goes up, I'll drop it in right now. You know, that shouldn't be so funny. It's like, yeah, boy!
do your hip hop laugh.
That's not it.
That's not it.
So, is that it? Is that all your musical experiences? I mean?
There it is. That's pretty much all that.
Oh wait, we're leaving out the other band that we were in together.
Oh, Big Town Small Town
with Sean Paul from Nightmares for a Week.
Nightmares for a Week.
And our friend Mel,
who is now a nutritionist in Long Island.
She is. She doesn't work in the city.
Nope.
Long Island.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a fun band.
Yeah, it was cool. We did some recordings. That was good. That was like a good experience. Sean Paul was kind of learning how to record at that point, right? Mm-hmm.
And that's how me and you met each other, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And but how did you know Sean Paul?
Oh, I knew Mel through the Red Hopes. That's a kind of a piece missing in the puzzle.
Okay.
I answered a Craigslist ad.
Wait, what?
I answered a Craigslist ad for they needed a drummer.
Oh, for Red Hopes.
Was with the Red Hopes with Mel and Lara.
Wait a minute. So you answered a Craigslist ad like 10 years ago, and that's why we're friends
yes,
now?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I was playing with the band, the hip-hop band in New Paltz. They wanted to find someone who could tour with them, which never ended up happening, but I couldn't because I had a job. So I didn't have a band, was looking through Craigslist, saw this, you know, ad for a drummer, answered it. That was with Mel and Lara. That then formed, then Sean Paul knew that I played with them and heard us a couple, I can't even remember now, to be honest.
Because I remember him like...
Oh, we recorded a demo. After the band broke up, we recorded a demo with him because he was looking to start recording and he needed some people to like do demos with. So that's how that happened. And then that's how I met you.
So that, when did you record that? Like right before we did Big Town?
Yeah, probably like a couple months before that.
Oh, I didn't even know that. And then we got Mel in Big Town.
Yep.
And then we broke up.
Yep.
And then I had Emily, right?
Yep.
And then while I wasn't doing a band, I recorded the High Five stuff. We did that, switched to 4th Street. Here we are. Okay. I'm just
good.
Going through my head to
yeah,
see
yeah,
if
yeah.
I'm missing anything with the John story.
Well, I also played with Countess of Persia for
a year
or two. That was in the middle there, around Big Town time. Maybe at the same time?
Yeah. I don't know. It had to have been, because I knew you.
Yeah.
Why did that band break up?
Oh, artistic differences.
That's what happens to every band.
Yeah. Artistic differences?
No, that's a nice way of saying it. Everybody hated everybody else.
Oh.
Well, didn't Vaughn move?
Vaughn moved to... Yeah, that was the final... Final nail in the coffin. That one moved to Florida.
Still there?
Yep, still there.
Okay. What about Ricky? What's he doing?
Rick is he just finished up his master's degree, and I don't think he's doing anything musically right now. You can edit that out. Okay.
Maybe he wants to
be the fourth member of 4th Street.
Is that a no, John?
He's like, I'm not saying anything.
I plead the fifth.
All right, so now let's go to the Mr. Cashin / Conti story.
Oh, for Christ's sakes!
What's your first memories of music?
My first memories of music?
Like how did you become to want to play music?
To want to play music? Well, I also always, like, since I was a little kid, like, since I was, like, 3-4 years old, like, huge Michael Jackson fan. I think I broke my refrigerator door one time.
Moonwalking on it?
Nope. Nope, but I was moonwalking on my friend's face, and I fell into the... No, I would swing on the... edit point. So, Mr. Cashin.
Michael Jackson fan.
Huge Michael Jackson fan when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
That was what
everyone.
I was saying.
Yeah, but some of us were Michael Jackson fans because we were supposed to be, and some of us were legitimately... I don't know, music, man. Like, yeah, music always talked to me. I was always into music. I don't know. What do you want? What do you want me to say to you?
I'm interviewing you. When? What? Was there something that happened? Everybody, to some degree.
I went and got a guitar because I wanted to be Kurt Cobain. Naturally.
There you go. This is what I'm trying to get at here.
You know. And then I was just during the time lucky.
Why
enough,
did you want to be Kurt Cobain?
Because he had great genes, man. I wanted genes just like his. No, but he was my little. When I was a little kid, I wanted holes in my jeans, and now here's this fuck kick-ass guy with holes in his jeans, and okay. You know, sometimes a dress or two,
and sometimes some lipstick.
Whatever, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. He was kicking ass. I wanted to kick ass.
Okay. So how old were you? That was around 91. How old? Oh fuck, you were like 10, weren't you?
I was. I was 9. Actually.
Yeah, because I was out of high school when they came out. That was like my first year out of high school.
Yeah, but you know what? It was probably, I mean, it wasn't much later than all the stuff that you were, that was out when you were in high school. I was lucky enough to be introduced to. I don't know, it's different now. It's different now than it was then. And I talk to kids all the time. I mean, it lives, you know, like... These kids, these young kids that come into the barbershop wearing Bad Brain shirts, and you know what I mean?
Really?
Oh, yeah. You know, and that they've been coming in like that since they were in ninth grade, you know, and it's awesome. And, I mean, there is still a bunch of, like, I mean, you know, these certain kids that I'm referring to, that shit is real, man. You know, it's genuine. But with the internet and stuff these days, I mean, we've all seen it go, you know, mm-hmm. it's spread out like crazy, and I mean... Just, you know, growing up, whether you're talking about when you were growing up, which was obviously 20 years before me.
10.
Or when I was growing up, which was 20 years after you. 10. Either way, it was the same difference. Somebody had to be lucky enough to have that somebody to be like, yo, check this out, you know? And I was there. I was lucky enough to have somebody be like, here, my uncle told me who the Descendants are. Now I put it on this shitty sounding tape and I'm going to give it to you to check out.
You know what's funny is Sean Paul. I don't know. Have you ever heard the story about how Sean Paul? I don't know if it. I'm pretty sure it's how he got into punk rock. Have you ever heard the story?
I don't know.
He used to hang out with Barry Davis. He hung out with Barry Davis, who lived next door to Brian Brown, who I hung out with all the time. And we were huge Descendants, Black Flag, Dinosaur Jr. fans, and he would come over there. To hang out with Brian's younger brother and steal our tapes.
Sean Paul would steal your tapes?
Yeah. That's what he told me anyway. He stole my Descendants tape.
That's classic.
Maybe not mine, maybe Brian's, maybe Long Dice, right. One of us. But he's like, oh man, I love that music, I gotta get that. And he would like take our tapes. I don't know if he put them back after he copied them or whatever, but... So did he get you into the Descendants?
No.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I thought he was informed of bands like the Descendants the same way I was, which, in my case, it was our mutual friend who didn't become a mutual friend till later when I became better friends with Sean Paul Skip, mm-hmm. who, and I wish somebody had the opportunity to correct me if I wasn't 100% right here, but it was
the way you remember it.
The way I remember it is that Skip had an uncle. What his name was, mm-hmm. but I used to hear a lot about this guy. But yeah, that's where I initially got all my music from was Skip, who was a kid, he was you know a year mm-hmm. year older than me or whatever. But he was the guy with the uncle who liked the cool music. Mm-hmm. Uncle makes music for him. He makes music for me.
Cool.
That's it.
But
yeah, I mean, it was a ton of those bands, Naked Raygun. Agent Orange, and the Bad Brains, and
Gorilla Biscuits.
The Descendants, and actually, I don't know, I think the Gorilla Biscuits came a little later for me, actually, yeah, but the Descendants were definitely one, I mean, like, clean sheets, man, like, I mean, the on those tapes, that's what stood out, but even actually some of the stuff that was just a little bit later, Face to Face, at that point, I think, I want to say,
early to mid-90s?
Yeah, I want to say Don't Turn Away was like... I want to say it was 93, 94, because I think Big Choice was like 95, but that was another one, you know, before you asked John, like, I think you said something about, like, a band that really made him want to do the thing, and I think Face to Face was that band for me. It's somewhere between Face to Face and The Descendants. But Face to Face in particular, I mean, you know, as we know, was sort of like, I don't know if it's completely fair to say they were sort of like next in line. They were like the answer to Social Distortion, like the next generation to Social Distortion. And as most of us know, Social Distortion was sort of that, was sort of the glue between like Southern California, like hot rod culture and punk rock music. That was kind of like, that was where that sort of started coming together. And that's the only excuse I have in the world for walking into a hot rod shop when I was a kid, shaking like a leaf, asking if they needed extra hands around the shop. I didn't have a dad that built hot rods, and I, you know what I mean? I don't know. That's the only reason I have. So I guess, indirectly, Face to Face is sort of the reason.
What was your first band? Was it LLTS?
Nope. There was a band before that, but unlike John, I'm going to skip that chapter.
No, come on.
It's the same goddamn story.
At least a band name. Band name.
Well, that's the only part I wasn't going to give you. It was a group of guys that played a bunch of Nirvana covers. And
what?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's going to be the worst what on tape ever.
What? Okay.
What's the band name?
I don't remember, to be perfectly honest.
You're lying to me right now.
I am lying to you right now. But you're not going to get it out of me. It's going to make for boring iPod. I can't.
Podcast.
iPodcast.
So, okay, so we won't get a band name.
But what?
LLTS was next then?
Yeah. And at that point, that's when we had written some stupid, like...
Who was in the band?
Nobody you know.
Nobody?
Justin Meyer.
I know Justin.
Justin Meyer was in my shitty, Nirvana cover, Nirvana Black Sabbath cover band.
Really?
Yep.
Nirvana and Black Sabbath?
Oh, and who else? Yeah, of course.
Sounds like the best band on the face of the planet.
We were pretty rad.
Who sang? Did you sing?
Sometimes. Our friend Gordon sang sometimes.
Okay. So next was LLTS?
Next was LLTS. And that was also, that was me and Justin and Meyer. Bill.
Right.
And Bill Manley.
Just the three of you?
No. Kid Colin played bass for a little while, but then it was weird. That was a weird thing, man. We were constantly like, this guy was playing bass, or this guy was playing drums, and this band. You know what I mean? There was like a whole bunch. I mean, when it really came down to it, it was me, Bill, and Justin.
Who played bass?
Were core. Colin played bass for a while,
Did you?
I did afterwards. When we were down to just the three of us at the end of that. And apparently, I never knew it, but, like, it was just, dude, we were having such a hard time keeping members together. She's like, nobody gave a shit. We did, the three of us did, and apparently those guys were ready to, like, oh, forget it, man. This is just, it was more work, you know?
And, the only time I saw you guys was the show I played with you, Slipfist. Was that, that Rosendale Rec Center?
Yeah.
That was it's one of my favorite shows to this
ever,
day.
Ever. There's like we put that together, people. Too.
Yeah.
Yep, it was six bands that night.
Was there that many?
Yep.
It was us.
It was you guys.
Lounge.
Jerk well, band. It was three. Hold on. It was three punk rock bands. It was three hardcore bands.
Who were the other hardcore bands?
Band called SOA.
That must have been in the band drinking beer.
I have no recollection of that. And Jesse Moucher's old band. I want to say they were called like Fracture maybe or something like that. Oops,
Jesse Moucher was in a band?
Yep.
He was in Watch You Burn for a second.
Doing what?
He played bass.
Oh, I remember that.
For like a second. Anyway.
Yeah, that's what that was. So LLTS, like, we get to the end, and then one day, Sean Paul called me up.
And Sean Paul from, at the time, Jerk Magnet.
At the time, he was Jerk Magnet, we were LLTS. And he called me up, and we had technically lost our bass player, even though I was playing bass. And they had just given their drummer the boot. So we had a drummer and two guitar players, and they had
singer,
a guitar player, bass player. So Sean Paul forfeited the instrument. We became a five-piece band and kept the name Jerk Magnet because they had been around longer, which we did for a little while. And
put out
a full length. called 7 Minutes in Heaven.
I tried to find that recently on like Amazon or something. I couldn't find it anywhere. It came out like on a real label.
Yeah, it came out on that came out on Ides of March,
which was part of Revelation,
which was Matt
Fox.
Matt Fox from Shy Who Leads the Label. And we put that out, and then the cops kept coming to our shows.
Coming after Jay. And then
Sean Paul got scared of the cops, right? Continue on.
Did he switch to bass then?
No. I switched to bass and Sean Paul picked up a guitar. And then
you were still Jerk Magnet or no?
No. At that point, we switched to Anna Devine.
Okay. And how long were you guys Anna Devine before you signed to Sideshow?
Yeah. I don't know. Sean Paul would be disappointed for me. I'm not the timeline guy, man.
I don't seem to remember too long of a period.
I don't think it was too long. And then, we put out the EP on Sideshow. It was pretty openly, like, the prereq to the full length on
Zoo?
Yeah. Well,
Militia Group.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure
of Militia Group.
Yeah.
Just making sure it's still recording. Imagine that shit wasn't recording. Okay, go ahead.
So yeah, so we put out that the self-titled EP on Sideshow. There was correspondence between James Cho of Sideshow, mm-hmm. and the Militia Group, I think at that point it was already established that we're going to put this EP out on Sideshow, and your full length will come out on the Militia Group. Mm-hmm. So we put out the EP and we started to tour it, and it turned out that it or the group or the music or something, it wasn't for me, and I went home, and those guys kept going and put out another record. And
do you want to talk about why you went home? Or
I just really wasn't in a place to do it anymore.
Okay.
There's nothing weird there. I just kind of wasn't. We'll call them artistic differences, right, John? Is that what you called them before? I mean, granted, I had my own issues going on too, and I kind of wanted to get the hell on, but like, I wasn't really holding on to much anymore at that point, mm-hmm. you know. I'm not disappointed to say that I wasn't part of the second half of that project.
So you come home from tour. Do you start a new band right away? What was your next band after that?
My next band after that was the Deadlock DeVilles.
That was quite a span of time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like. I guess so.
A couple of years at least.
Yeah. I mean, I had played some musical people here and there, but I mean, it was weird. I mean, you gotta understand that the relationship there started in the ninth grade with Justin Meyer playing mm-hmm. in these bands. That turned into LLTS, turned into Jerk Magnet, turned into Anna Devine. So it was like it was sort of just this like constant revelation. And, so I never really was in a position ever since the very beginning was ever in a position to have to start over with any mm-hmm. group of people. It was just whatever evolved mm-hmm. into the next thing. You know yeah. what I mean? So yeah. Anyway, so that I mean, yeah, it was really hard to.
So how did you start Deadlock?
I called our bass player up, Frankie, and I had some ideas and some stuff I had been listening to, and I went down there. Asked my roommate at the time, Chris P.S. Armstrong Professional Services.
He was your roommate?
He was my roommate at the time, and a drummer. And he'd just gotten done putting a new drum set together down at Precision.
Where was he your roommate?
On Fairview Avenue. It was me, Jay, and Chris. Yeah, that's right. Three of us lived together.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So.
So then...
We did that for a couple years. We put out a little EP also. Sean Paul had recorded that for us up at Leaning Tree. That was right around the same time that you guys had done in Big Town, Small Town. So that was during that time period. Mm-hmm. And then...
Ran its course,
and...
How long after that did you...
Not too long after that.
It was Hi-Fi,
I started playing with the Hi-Fi about you guys, yeah.
So...
How about you, Todd? Tell us about your musical.
Oh, jeez.
So in 1954...
Four score!
It is funny. It's like, my first recollection of anything music will make me sound extremely old.
That's okay.
It was, I was like 4 or 5, and it was, we had the TV, no remotes, nothing, 2 through 13, but back then, like, there was no Showtime or anything, but you could go get this box. Do you remember the box that, and it just had a knob, and turned it, and it went to, it was called Z-Box?
I didn't know that, but I know, yeah.
It just turned it and went to, it eventually turned into Showtime, but you just turned this knob and it went to cable.
Yeah.
And I turned it on once and the Doobie Brothers Farewell Tour was on this channel. It was like 1978 or, no, it had to be even earlier than that. And I was like, whoa, what is this? Who are these fucking dudes? And
you were inspired by the Doobie Brothers?
It was the first thing. I was like, oh. Next day, my mom was like going to Caldor probably or something. I was like, give me that Doobie Brothers. Give me that Doobie Brothers Greatest Hits tape. So, like, whenever I hear a Doobie Brothers song, China Grove, Rocking Down the Highway, I'm just like, oh, I remember that concert. All the mustaches, and they had, like, I remember they had palm trees on the stage. But that was, like, the first thing that really fucking, I was like, whoa, this is cool as shit. But then, like, a year or two later, the same channel, I turned on, that was Rick Springfield. Mm. Love Rick. Still love me some Rick Springfield. That, I was like, from that point on, I was like, that is what I'm doing. And it took about, I don't know, 5-10 more years before I got a guitar. And I really sucked really bad at it. Real bad. Like, I took lessons, I tried to get better. And I kept getting kicked out of bands from my friends. And,
Put your band
back. Yeah, I just kept getting kicked out of bands because I wasn't good enough. And
really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
No, it wasn't funny. It was heartbreaking. But it just forced me to fucking just... When I was young, though, it was like when I first really got into it, I was really into, like... I didn't know what punk rock was. I was fucking Kingston. Like, I didn't know what any of that shit was, so... I was like in the Quiet Riot and Motley Crue and Rick Springfield, so I was trying to like learn shit like how to be a shredder. And I look back at it and I wasn't trying that hard because it just wasn't really for me, but once I got into skateboarding and someone gave me a mixed punk tape, I had to send this on a Silly Girl. And that shit changed everything. I was like, this I can do. Fucking, sending songs about fucking eating tacos and chicks not liking you. That shit was fucking right for me, man. I was like, this is for me. But before that, I'm going to go to my first band story. My first band was called Defiance.
Defiance.
And we played all covers, mostly covers. We wrote some real shitty songs. One of my wrote was called Freddy Krueger. Oh, man. it's so funny.
Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger. But, you know, we played Metallica, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest. Just shit like, dude, there's this fucking flyer. Brian, we practiced in Brian's basement, and it was the three of us, and we wanted me, Brian Brown, and Mike Longendyke. And none of us could sing, so we're looking for a singer. So I made this flyer. I got an X-Acto knife and I made triangles in it, and I put pictures of us behind it, so he had our faces sticking through. And I think I came up with the logo, or Longendyke did. It was all metal looking. It said Defiance needs a vocalist. We do songs by Judas Priest, Tesla, Iron Maiden, Metallica.
I remember you telling me about this.
And then I think I had my mom's number or Brian's mom's number, and then it said, serious inquiries only. Attitudes are a big knot. Dude, this fucking flyer hung in Brian's basement for about 20 years. And I guess recently he sent me a picture. His parents had it professionally framed and shit. It's so fucking funny, man. Dude, I gotta... we all have, mullets. What did we...
Oh, call? I got pictures of you with mullets.
But, this is,
last
the,
year?
This is, the mom mullet. The mom, my mom didn't want it too long in the back, so I had to get, shoulder length. Shoulder length mullet. So funny. But, that was the first band. I don't think I got kicked out of that band. But then, I did. they went on, Brian and Mike went on and went with this other dude that was better than me. So at that point I was like, I'm just gonna rule. I'm just gonna fucking sit and
practice.
Yeah, just fucking practice my balls off. And then I remember one day I was working the job lot. I was 19, and Brian, Mike, and my buddy Greg, who works on your motorcycles, they all came into my job and they were like, they were in a band called Hussy Hill. And they came into my job and they're like, we quit. We want to play with you. And I was like, yes, I win. I was like, I'm good enough. And we started a band called Raymond's Pride. And we got to open for Bad Brains, which was pretty awesome. And that lasted a year. Then I went, on some sort of fucking, I had a full stack. I traded it for an acoustic guitar that looked like Dave Matthews' acoustic guitar.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And I got real into, Dave Matthews.
When was this?
I didn't know this.
Yeah, Dave Matthews, the Beastie Boys. This was, early mid-90s. I was totally, I had no clue. I still liked The Descendants and Murphy's Law. Those were my only two, punk rock thing. Oh, I did Face to Face, too. But mostly I got into, Dave Matthews. I remember going to see Allman Brothers. I got really into smoking pot and shit.
That was close. We almost lost you there.
Yeah, you did. I was real into that shit for a few years. And then...
Pot?
Pot, Beastie Boys, Dave Matthews. And then we decided to do Raymond's Pride again. And then after that, we did one show. And shortly after that, I started Slipfist with Darren, and got back on the ball.
Back in the metal.
So started.
So you had to buy a brand new full stack again.
Actually, I don't know how it went down, but Oh, no, that was later. Did I? I think I asked the dude that I had traded to be in the band and then let me use one of the cabinets. So he had one cabinet in the head.
Wait a minute, growl. Were those the gray cabinets?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, the gray Fender cabinets? Yeah.
So he had the original. I went and I found another one of those Fender heads used, and then I used one of the cabinets that I had traded for this acoustic guitar. Eventually, I ended up buying a Mesa, but that's how that started. And, you know, we did Slip this for like a year and a half.
That was it?
Yeah, it was very short. Very short period of time. And then we started Slugworth. Did that for like, I don't know, 5 years. Which then turned into Watch You Burn. And then at that point, I think everyone was just kind of over it at the time. And then that was when we did start Big Town. Oh, then after Big Town, I did Ivory Rose. Right, I did Ivory Rose for 2 years. Never played any shows. I always wanted
just
to play
practices,
shows.
Right?
We recorded an album that never came out, and it sucks because I really like the songs that I wrote for that record. They're like pop country songs.
Yeah.
Hopefully someday. I don't even have a copy of it. Someday people will hear it.
Yeah.
Then after that, what was Big Town after that?
I know
Big Town was after that.
But you also went back for a little while.
Did I?
I think you did, yeah.
Ivory Rose was before Big Town, because Big Town stopped and then I had Emily. So then there was that. Big Town. High Five, 4th Street, and here we are.
Yeah, we'll probably do this for like another...
Well, the honeymoon will be over in about an hour and a half. About a year and a half. No, hopefully the honeymoon will never be over on this, because this is too good.
Yeah, I'm not starting over. This is it.
You're young. You would start over. I started the High Five because I said I didn't want to start over.
I think after this, it's going to be cover bands, like a wedding band or something.
Yeah.
If you want to make money, yeah. We should.
After this, I think I'm going to sell every last piece of gear in this basement and go buy myself a Model A Roadster. I think I can probably pile that money up together.
Okay. Well, if you are just listening to this podcast and you see Mike in a Model A...
You know...
We are no longer a band. So, I guess we'll leave it on that. No, we'll leave it on... The EP comes out on February 26th. And let's play one more song. John, you pick it.
How about...
Thanks for making it weird, dude. Appreciate that. Really appreciate it. All right, so this song's called Home.
Ah, there you go. That's a good one. I was trying to think... We keep changing all the, you know... We always change the name.
Sick and Stable.
Sick, Home, Lift.
Home Lift?
Home.
The song's called Homesick. It's called Homesick and Stable.
Homesick and Stable.
It is?
Yeah, it's not Home.
It
was Home.
Is it on the CD is Homesick and Stable?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right.
I think.
We're gonna play...
Homesick and Stable.
Homesick and Stable. Please support us, and thank you for listening.
To our bullshit.
retrace my footsteps now. To be the guy who found a way to make it back. The first one back to town. Oh, it never meant a thing. That little menacing. No, it never meant a thing. That little menacing. Oh, it never meant a thing. That little menacing. They said for me.
All right, well, there it is. The first episode of My Friends Call Me Tito, the podcast. I hope you liked what you heard. As you're listening to this right now, I'm in the process of booking more guests. So hopefully I'll have a new episode up every week. Please go to my website, myfriendscallmetito.com. You can subscribe to the podcast right on there. You can search for it on iTunes. Check out Fort Street on Facebook at facebook.com/Fort Street Band. And last minute reminder, Homesick and Stable, the debut Fort Street EP is coming out on Tuesday, February 26th. If you're interested in buying it through Amazon, please click on the banner at myfriendscallmetito.com. Help support the podcast. And that's it for now. Please keep listening. Thank you very much.